XRN.
Welcome to another episode of Dr. Drew's Two Cents. How's it going? My name is Dr. Drew. I have a couple pennies to flick at you today. As always, my cohort in crime, Chris Crespo, Manifest Scenes.
Hey, dude, how's it going?
It's going, bro. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Just checking some levels, making sure everything looks good, sounds good.
Awesome.
Very excited about this topic.
So, if you can't tell by the name of the episode, I'm talking about nothing. And not in the fact that I'm talking about nothing, like I got nothing to talk about, but I'm talking about the concept of nothing. And nothingness and things of that nature. It kind of spawned from, I mean, we were just kind of sitting here and you were like, hey, what are you gonna do this week? And I was like, I'm gonna talk about nothing. And then I thought about it and I was like, that's not necessarily the worst topic ever.
No, it's not.
Nothing. No. I mean, yeah, the topic of nothing.
The topic of nothing. Nothingness.
Yes. Nothing. Nothingness. The void. Eternal oblivion. Vacuum. Have egolessness, nihilism, all the fun stuff.
That's all related to the nothingness?
Oh, yeah. All of those things.
Offshoots of nothingness?
All offshoots of the concept of nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Exciting. I mean, hell, the number zero, if you want to get, you know, mathematical with it.
I do.
And whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we let's start there.
You want to start with math?
Well, start wherever you want. I don't know if you have an order. Nothing, because nothing is so, to me, it's so daunting.
Nothingness. I know. It's a very large undertaking, nothing.
Yes.
I mean, there's actually quite a lot of something to say about nothing.
Mm-hmm. The contradictory nature of nothing.
Yes.
And nothingness. I guess because when it comes to nothingness, do you have to talk about somethingness?
That's that whole dualism thing where, you know, good, evil, nothing, something, black, white, right. Man, woman.
Yin, yang.
Exactly. All that fun stuff.
Tea, coffee, VW Beetle. I'm drinking. Never mind. Yeah. Go ahead. Let me go back to my
brain. Okay, you need to drink. Start drinking more because I want more of this silly nonsense coming out of your mouth. Why not start with nothing in math, Chris?
All right.
What do you know about nothing in math?
Nothing in math. I know that I imagine zero must have been actually a concept that had to be grasped at one point.
Probably.
You know, I mean, all the way at the beginning.
I would assume so.
When people were figuring out, hey, one. Put this one together, put this one together, now you have two. It's a concept of two things being together as one and counting, you know?
Yes, two as one, as opposed to, all right, now you have both of these things, and I'm going to punch you in the face and take them all away. Now what do you got?
I got a broken nose and nothing.
There you go. You got yourself some zero.
I got zero.
It's a numerical digit. It's also known as not. N-O-U-G-H-T or not N-A-U-G-H-T.
Oh, not, yeah.
Nil.
I think not and nil are like very UK.
Yes.
Like they'll call the early 2000s.
The noughts.
The noughties.
Yeah.
Which is so.
I dig it.
Do you?
Well, the early 2000s, yeah. I was pretty naughty during the noughties, bro.
Hey-yo! I don't have a sound effect board set up, so I gotta do my stuff.
It's good.
All right.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, zero is divisible by everything except for itself, because anything divided by zero is
zero,
and anything multiplied by zero is
zero.
Exactly. If you add zero to something,
nothing happens.
And if you subtract zero,
nothing happens.
There you go.
Again, nothing.
Zero.
So nothing equals nothing.
Yes.
So in what case would zero equal 100%?
Who, in the case of nothing.
In the case of 100% of nothingness?
Yes. because by default, a percentage is a is percent. Percent means of 100.
Right.
So you're automatically, it's zero of 100, so you're dividing. It's mathematical. You automatically get zip.
So you're already back at zero.
Yeah, you're already, yeah. Yep.
So how can everything be nothing?
Correct. Yeah.
We already fell down a rabbit hole.
Where, yep. I mean, even
we're not even 6 minutes into the show.
Nope.
And my head is.
I mean, when it comes to just the number zero, even some different sports have different terms for the score of zero.
Ooh, I got one.
Go.
Love.
Yes, in tennis.
Yes.
Apparently, in cricket, they call it duck. And
really?
In
duck.
Duck.
Okay.
And in they, I mean, the rest of the world calls it football. We call it soccer.
Right. Okay.
It's nil.
Nil. That right. Nil. We got to remember that for that Orlando City soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
When they joined the MLS.
Uh huh.
They wear kits, not jerseys. It's a pitch, not a field. And when they win a lot to nil, not a lot to love.
Yes.
So that's tennis.
Yep.
Go City. Hashtag Go City. Sponsors.
Hashtag Go City. Very nice.
It's like that.
Yeah. So, I mean...
That is duck. I guess because it's like an egg. Because you're laying an egg. You're laying a duck egg. Look at that big old duck egg.
You got
a goose egg. They call them goose eggs in baseball.
Eggs. I mean, it's a zero.
It's a zero.
It's because it looks like...
It's a big old oval.
What does it look like?
It looks like an egg.
Exactly.
Big old nothingness.
Yep. It's a big old hole. Yeah. A hole of squat.
Yeah.
Of nothing.
Sort of math of nothing. You know what I think of when I think of... mathematics, for some reason, literally the word mathematics.
What?
Tangent. Donald Duck in Mathmagicland. You ever seen
that? Talking about tangent. Tangent is a what term? It's a mathematical term. it's an angle.
Yeah, it's so
talking,
true.
Talking some geometry there, home
That's
slice.
So true. I just ran off on a 90-degree angle on you, and now I'm talking about Donald Duck in Mathmagicland.
Mathmagicland.
Did you ever see that?
No.
It's all...
Did anything crazy happen with the number zero?
I want to say yes, because that was all about the wonders of math and how it relates to nature and Donald Duck's interacting with different things. I watched it a lot when I was a kid over and over, and definitely had the whole nature mathematics thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a universal language, mathematics. When you talk about nothing, it's a good way to start.
Yes.
To relate it to...
It's zero. It's nothing. It's squat.
It's crazy.
It's.
It's intense.
It you ain't me, got none.
Makes thinking of nothing and nothing makes me want to drink more.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing. Yeah, totally. Kind of relative to numbers. I mean, when you have zero, you also there's. I mean, when you're talking about temperatures, there's absolute zero.
Yes.
The lowest temperature possible, Chris.
So you can't get below absolute zero.
No. It is the temperature at which. Entropy reaches a minimum value, zero, which means atoms no longer are moving. Like there's no energy.
So there's no more freezing of it. There's no more.
No, it is. That's it.
It's done.
Yes, it's done.
Absolute
it's
zero.
It's absolute zero.
Is there a reverse for that? Like in the other direction? Is
no, I'm pretty sure.
Absolute infinity?
No. Oh, well, yeah. Well, you see, the whole thing is, I mean, things just kind of go until they turn into pure energy. And then at that point in time, they just kind of...
That's absolute infinity.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
Pure energy.
I think we just... I think that's worthy of turning it into a term paper and sending it to Harvard. Again, that's published, right? Dr. Drew's first published paper will be how absolute zero, I'm going to write this down, equals absolute infinity.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same.
It is, exactly. Agreed.
It's all the same. So,
nothingness.
Yeah, well, that's when you come in talking about math and the sciences and things of that nature.
Trying to understand it.
Yeah.
Grasp the concept of it.
I mean, and then there's all the other nonsense that have to do with nothing. Most of the time, when you think about nothing, it's more of a philosophical endeavor,
right?
Of sorts. The whole, something, nothing, oblivion.
I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, oh man, that movie.
If you want a crash course on somethingness versus nothingness in a very easy way to understand, watch the movie I Heart Huckabees.
We're not talking about movies!
sorry.
That's okay. Keep talking about the movie. I just like saying that.
you have to say that each one. It is a crash course pretty much on just the basic concept of nothingness, somethingness, and all that.
It's existentialism in a nutshell.
Existentialism, exactly.
We'll get to existentialism in a bit.
Exciting.
But that's a long path. And a heavy burden, my friend.
I have a feeling this episode is going to get to some places. I'm pretty excited about it, dude.
Oh, it's going to get a lot of weird places. There's going to be, I mean, when you're talking about nothingness, obviously, in a philosophical point of view, some sort of, I mean, just it's a lack thereof, so we're probably going to be talking about an afterlife or not a god or not
things, or not anything that you can think of.
Because in order to, you know, talk about the negative aspect, I in turn have to talk about the positive aspect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's that whole duality thing.
It's for it to make sense.
Well, yeah, because just to talk about nothing, you can't grasp the concept of nothing without first grasping the concept of something.
Right. Spoiler alert, that's the whole idea behind I Heart Huckabees. You got to understand it all. Nothingness, somethingness. There's a mix of the two. You can't just focus on one or the other. Everything can't be awesome, happy, great all the time. There's a reason for everything. But everything can't be like nothing super, everything super bleak, nothingness too.
We can't be nihilist forever.
It's both.
We can't care for nothing. Be a nihilist. We care for nothing.
We're not talking about movies.
I know we're talking about movies, but it's such a great line from such an awesome movie.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, yes.
Quite along with Nice Marmot.
Nice Marmot.
anyway, so I guess we'll start with. Actually, I was going to start with Western philosophy, but that's the Western philosophy is the stuff that I know the most about.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that conversation might last a little bit longer.
Save it for the second half, you're thinking?
So, yeah.
Spoiler alert, second half.
I think we're going to go... Actually, first, I want to talk about the concept of nothing in language and logic, and then we'll go into some philosophy.
Okay.
We'll start with the Eastern philosophy, and then we'll take a break, and then the Western, because that's going to be the doozy.
That'll be fun.
That'll be the doozy.
Are we going to get into some religion maybe around that time?
The religion talk is actually going to start with the Eastern philosophy because of the different schools of religion and their thought on their concept of nothingness.
Right.
Because depending on what you think, what you believe, you know, nothingness can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing.
Agreed.
So, absolutely, I mean, technically nirvana is a state of nothing. So
it depends on your view of what nirvana could be.
Exactly.
Some people would find that to be great.
Like I said, the perfectness. So, all right, but first, language and logic.
Okay. Language and logic.
Yes.
This is interesting.
Well, I mean, technically, I guess, grammatically, the word nothing is an indefinite pronoun, which means it refers to something. So, once again... Getting back to this whole...
Can't have something without nothing.
And you can't have nothing without something.
All right, yeah.
One might argue that nothing is a concept, and since concepts are things, the concept of nothing itself is a thing.
Is a thing. Okay. So nothingness is a
Which
thing. Nothing is a thing.
Kind of almost negates itself, but whatever.
Because it exists.
But,
because
exactly.
It exists.
But this is a logical fallacy, and it's neatly demonstrated by this fun little... I guess, anti-God joke. All right, so the devil is greater than nothing, right?
The devil is greater than nothing, okay.
But nothing is greater than God.
Right? I think I've heard of it.
Therefore, the devil is greater than God.
Wait, I've heard something different. Do that again. The devil...
Okay, the devil is greater than nothing.
The devil is greater than nothing, okay.
Because he's the devil. He's something, so he's greater than nothing.
Okay.
But nothing is greater than God.
Okay, so then
therefore, the devil is greater than God.
Because you got the semantics of the word nothing in there.
Exactly.
I forgot to mention, I have a list of a whole bunch of quotes here that I pulled.
Okay.
Half of them are about nothing.
Okay.
Or at least mention the word nothing. So actually, some of them might not have anything to do with nothing.
Okay.
But the other half are about nothingness.
Uh-huh.
And there was one that I pulled... that's right along those lines. Or did I not? Okay, I can remember it though. It's a riddle.
Yeah.
But we all know the answer now because it's the title of the show. But it's the riddle would set up would be it is nothing. Oh shit! Damn it! See, it's something about it's along the lines of how. Nothing is God is better than nothing.
So, yeah,
the devil is
the thing goes back.
Damn it.
Okay.
It's killing me. I'm gonna find it.
The devil is greater than nothing, right?
I got it.
Nothing is greater than God, therefore the devil is greater than God. Now, the reason why this works is because the four terms in this example are God, the devil, nothing as a thing, which the devil is greater than, because it's that definition of nothing. And nothing as no thing or not something,
right.
Or
a combination of words.
Exactly. So the error conclusion stems from equating nothing as a thing with nothing as nothing, and they're not the same.
Well, it's basically it's semantics. It's
exactly.
It's when you're just arguing the definition of words, and you're latching onto different definitions, and you're kind of pretending that they mean the same thing. You know, so that's kind of a fun little way of. With denouncing the Lord God.
I have another one. I have another fun little drawing that works with the same fuzzy logic and semantics about how I can mathematically prove that women are evil.
Oh, that's not.
it's definitely
Drew's show.
It's really silly. It's a visual thing, so you have to see it, and since I can't show it doesn't work, I won't bring it up again.
Okay, well, if I told you this riddle, what would the answer be? More powerful than God, more evil than the devil, the poor have it, the rich lack it, and if you eat it, you die.
No idea, Chris.
Nothing, it's nothing, nothing.
Yeah.
Margaret Atwood, the blind assassin, that's a tribute to.
Nice.
That particular quote. I don't know why I didn't pull it. I thought maybe I would remember it, but apparently I didn't. Because I'm not drinking enough. Let me drink some.
Well, we're talking about language, so you might as well bring up these quotes while we're at it.
Well, yeah, I got a whole bunch of them. I figured I would just maybe throw one out every now and then.
Why don't you just throw them all out and we'll talk about them real
every
quick.
Every single one of them? I got a whole lot of them.
Whole lot of them?
I do. I got like almost 10 on nothing and like 10 on nothingness.
Well, why don't you spurt out a couple?
All right, I'll throw out a couple. You know what? I have a few that are...
Maybe it'll spark some conversation.
These are tied together.
Okay.
We can know only that we know nothing. And that is the highest degree of human wisdom, doth saith Leo Tolstoy, War and Peace.
Ah, yes, Mr. Tolstoy, he's a very smart man.
Smart man, but you know why he's a smart man? Because amateurs create professional steel.
Yep.
Plato, the Republic. I am the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is I know nothing.
Ah, Tolstoy stealing from the great Plato.
It's good.
It's great stuff. It's just rewording.
It is
all
rewording.
The fun stuff. Man,
Jefferson has a rewording too. He said, "He who knows nothing is closer to the truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehoods and errors."
Man,
so a blank slate is better than one that's all fucked up with garbage. Fox News, MSNBC.
Dude, we should mainstream media. We should just start reading a whole bunch of these philosophical terms and rewriting them in 2000-something slang, and we'll be the new great philosophers!
Genius! The new great philosophers. Gotta write that
the
down,
new
too.
Great philosophers. Hell, that's even the great name for a hip-hop band. Who are we? We're the new great philosophers.
That's awesome. I wrote that down. The new great philosophers. That is a genius idea.
Isn't
that, that is what it is. Oscar Wilde. I love to talk about nothing. It's the only thing I know anything about.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing, except he done it in his own sardonic Oscar Wilde way.
Yeah.
Apparently he said when he died, either these drapes go where I do.
Boom.
That's pretty funny.
He's like, I'm out.
That's pretty funny.
Why? Because nobody moved the drapes.
He knows he's dying. He's like, I'm going out with a fucking classic.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him. So how about that idea? The idea that to know that we know nothing is the greatest thing to know.
And that's something.
Which is something. Which seems like a contradiction. But how can that be? These are smart men, too. These guys know stuff. It's not like they don't know nothing.
Correct.
So what are they talking about? What do they mean?
And they're talking about nothing, bro. which is apparently something. Which doesn't make any sense because it's supposed to be nothing. You know?
It's a crazy contradiction.
Do you understand?
I think I do.
All right. Well, now let's start into the whole philosophy of nothing. Pardon me. The understanding of nothing varies widely between cultures, especially between Western and Eastern and philosophical traditions. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there is blah, 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 blah. All right. You Buddhism.
You don't need to know that stuff, people.
Nope. Nope.
Don't worry about it. We filtered it for you.
Blah, 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 blah. Doing some reading. La, 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 la. All right. So in Buddhism, man, I really would. I'm going to have. Pardon me if I mispronounce any of these words.
Oh, man. We'll do our best, people.
I have no idea what I'm saying.
We do have an international audience that downloads in Thailand.
Hello. Yes. Well, this is a Buddhist word.
Right.
It's sunyata, I think.
That sounds right.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. It's a Buddhist term translated into English as emptiness, voidness, openness, thusness, spaciousness. It's a Buddhist concept which has multiple meanings depending on its doctrinal context. But, I mean, all of those things, when you think nothing, you know, empty.
Go through them again. Let's go through one at a time.
Emptiness.
Emptiness. The idea of just being empty.
Empty. Yes.
Nothing in you.
Voidness.
Voidness. The idea of the void is different from emptiness. Yeah. When you think about void, it's like, holy cow.
Exactly. Empty is like, yeah. Void is like, there's nothing.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
You're
nothing.
In the void.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Openness.
That just feels like I'm in a big field.
But yeah, but it's empty.
But it's a big empty open, or maybe like a desert, or maybe like Tron, where everything's just flat.
Yeah, but still, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
Open space.
Right, because there's nothing there.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Openness.
Gotcha.
Openness.
Agreed.
Spaciousness.
Spaciousness. I think a nice big apartment downtown.
Yes.
With high ceilings.
Yes.
Yeah. And what else?
There we go.
That's all of them?
Yes.
So what, we understand that and we're good to go with Buddhism, nothing
else? No, that is just one of the...
One of thousands of things.
Yeah, dude, it's deep, man. It's deep. Okay, here's another concept of nothingness in the Eastern tradition.
Okay.
Nirvana.
Nirvana,
it,
yes.
It literally means...
Come as you are.
No.
What?
No, no, no. Oh. It literally means blown out.
Blown out?
Blown out. That is a literal translation of Nirvana.
You mean like Octomom?
Blown out. As in a candle.
Ooh.
It's most commonly associated with Buddhism, and in Indian religions, the attainment of nirvana is moksha, liberation from the cycle of rebirth.
Whoa. Liberation from the cycle, because they believe in reincarnation.
Yes.
And if you can bust out of that, you achieve nirvana.
Yes.
You get out of that cycle.
Exactly. And that's... I mean that's nothing. It's a form of nothingness because you're out of the cycle. You know, this is the cycle. This is where all the bad things happen. I mean, good things happen too, but blah 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 blah. The whole point of Buddhism is to break free.
Would you as a Western American heathen, would you prefer to reincarnate? And because Buddhism, they're also about, or is that Hinduism? No, that's more Hinduism.
Hang on.
But reincarnation,
yeah.
It's just living over and over. Would you rather do that with all the ups and downs, or would you break free of a cycle and then and just go ahead and achieve nirvana and see what that's all about? Basically, would you be comfortable with living earth life over and over and over? Or would you want to move on?
Who's to say we haven't?
But if you had a choice. If you had the actual option, it's like being in the army. If you could re-up and live Earth life again, what would you do?
Man, screw it. I'm out, bro.
You're out?
I'm out.
Achieve nirvana?
Deuces.
All right. Because, yeah, you don't know how many go-arounds you've already been through. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this one go around that I can remember, I mean, it's had its ups and downs and blah, 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 blah.
It could get better. Could get worse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The next one could be better, though.
The next, but it could also be worse. I'm not sure if I could deal with worse. This one's pretty bad.
Could be worse.
All right. Yeah, and the booty's kind of blah blah blah.
You don't need to.
Hang on, yeah. Blah 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 blah. Okay, yes. In the Buddhist context, Nirvana refers to the imperturbable stillness of mind.
The imperturbable means it can't
after
be perturbed.
After the fires of desire, aversion, and delusion have finally been extinguished.
Damn, that's intense. That's
so it's just stillness.
This sounds like work to get there, to get to that kind of stillness, nothingness. So Nirvana is supposed to be nothingness? You break out of the cycle and you get to...
But it's a good nothingness, because you're free from desire, aversion, and delusion. You finally achieved the truth.
What? Desire, what, and diversion?
Desire, aversion, and delusion.
Aversion and delusion. Aversion, delusion. Aversion and delusion, I could do without. I feel like desire kind of drives me.
Desire's kind of fun.
Desire kind of makes me who I am as a person. Kind of makes us who we are as people.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We're supposed to just put that aside and then achieve nirvana-ness and somethingness?
Well,
nothingness?
I mean,
somethingness slash nothingness?
Well, nothingness.
The great nothingness?
But it's a good nothingness.
The good nothingness.
It's the ultimate. You are one with the universe again. I guess you just... It's... I mean... Yeah. I mean, but... I'm a rational thinker, so when I think one with the universe, I'm thinking scientific theories here. You know, I mean, matter is nothing but condensed energy. When you die, I mean, you go back to the universe anyway. Technically, they're correct.
It's more about your state of consciousness and the transition from matter to...
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
All right.
Because, I mean, it... Yeah, exactly. All right.
Mark Twain,
what did he say?
I know you're a fan of Samuel Clemens.
Yeah, oh, I love him.
Don't go around saying the world owes you a living. The world owes you nothing. It was here first. Nothing. There you go.
Nothing. It was. The world does owe you nothing. It was here first.
That's kind of Buddhist, right?
Yeah.
You know, because it's all about it. What are you doing? What do you think? It's all about you? It's not about you. It's about everything. Because it's all about nothing. Is that right?
Yes.
Let me finish my beer.
Also, in the Eastern terms, there's a Japanese and Korean term, mu, or the Chinese wu, meaning not have, without. It's a key word in Buddhism, especially the Chan and Zen traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know anything about either of those.
About Zen and what?
The Zen and Chan traditions.
I don't know. Chan, obviously, I know, Chinese. Obviously Chinese.
I know nothing about it.
I think Zen is Japanese. That's all I can say.
Yes.
Well, you hear Zen. Zen is, you know, the stereotypical, like, you know.
But is it that Zen?
But is it? Is it, though?
I have no idea.
Or is that just our stupid Yankee John
exactly
Wayne, USA, I'm fat, here, charge it on my credit card, American viewpoint? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know,
some English translation equivalents of the term woo or moo are no, not, nothing, without, nothingness, non-existence, non-being, not having, a lack of, without. A negative, cause to be no non-existent, impossible, lacking reason or cause, or also pure human awareness prior to experience or knowledge.
Pure human awareness.
This meaning is used
prior to experience or knowledge.
This meaning is used especially by the Chan school, the original non-being from which being is produced.
So that's like
so the
that's
original. Like a, it's the blank slate.
It's like the yeah. Okay.
It's the nothing.
It's the nothingness. It's when you're. It's like what? Weren't we just talking about something like that? Well, all this nothingness. Didn't I have a quote? Were we just talking about something like that? No more around saying world. Then no, it's the only thing I have. No. It is a blank slate, though. It's
yeah.
Knowing nothing. You know what? Another Thomas Jefferson quote. I don't think I put it in here, but I might. Or did I tweet it out? I might have just tweeted it because it was so awesome. I couldn't even hold it for this. Jefferson tweeted, "It is better to read nothing that read only newspapers and nothing else. All right, so meaning that, you know, you gotta get more from your intake has to be more than just one source. Newspapers is not enough. You gotta take in more around your life, right? There's other things. But it's really about there's more.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Nothing?
No, I'm getting lost again.
You're getting lost in a sea of nothing, Chris?
So much nothingness, man. It's crazy.
It's a lot of nothing. Does that make sense? A lot of nothing?
I'm drowning in all this nothingness. It's ridiculous.
Are you being suffocated by the nothing, Chris?
Sometimes I feel like I am being suffocated by the nothing. Isn't that a Madeline... what's the book? What's her name?
I don't know. There have been a lot of very depressed white people who have done things about nothing.
The nothing. When the nothing comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that,
All right.
It's killed me.
Why don't you give me another quote, Chris? One more quote about nothing before we go on.
You want a quote about nothing or nothingness?
Before go on a cancer break.
I'll give you a nothingness quote. This one might get your hackles up. Religion enables us to ignore nothingness and get on with the jobs of life. John Updike.
Ooh. See, and that's nothing, but that's the concept of nothing is a bad thing.
Yes, because you're scared of it, right?
Scared of the void? You're afraid of the void, Chris?
I am afraid of the void, I'll be honest. Jean-Paul
Sartre. We'll be talking about him later.
In Being and Nothingness, he says, nothingness lies coiled in the heart of being like a worm.
Ooh.
Which is, and that nothing, it burrows into you, man. And it's just so scary, the idea of just there being nothing. And an unforgiving nothing.
Yes.
Being greeted with a nothing where it's, it's just harsh.
And cold.
A harsh, cold, fucking dark nothing. I was going to say black nothing, but black is a concept that we can understand as living people. Yeah. No, a nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. Ugh.
The only good thing about that is if there is nothing, and that means and we have to be nothing. If there's nothing, then we are nothing. There's no concept of anything. So it's not like we're sitting around and be like, man, this is boring.
No, because it's all over.
It's all done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's been shut off.
We'll get to that later, too.
See, not yet. No, I'm just not even. I need to refill my beer.
And on that note, we're going to refill our beers, have ourselves a cancer
cigarette
break. While we're on break, you can listen to some music. I have a song by Apparat. It's off of the album The Devil's Walk. The name of the song is A Bang in the Void. Thought it quite appropriate. And the bed music we're playing is Mastodon's Oblivion.
Yes. Oblivion.
Yeah.
Nothing.
All right, we'll be right back. Oh, welcome back to Dr. Drew's Two Cents. Thanks for listening. Yeah, go ahead and get some plugs out of the way. Chris, where can people find more of your silly nonsense?
Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo and go to ChrisCrespo.com.
ChrisCrespo.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Antihero419. Same as always. Yeah, so we're back. We're here talking about nothing.
Kim Elizabeth said, this is the quote I was looking for before. Nothing is more dreadful in life than the profound thought that death may only greet you with eternal nothingness.
Choo, 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 choo. death greets you with eternal nothingness. That's pretty freaking deep there, buddy.
Yeah.
So, Mayor, we're talking about nothingness. Gonna come into the conversation before the break, first half. We're talking about the concept of nothing, you know, just the basics of it. It as a number and nothing in grammar, blah, blah, blah. Eastern philosophy,
Buddhism,
which
Nirvana.
I know very little about. So,
let's get into that Western philosophy.
So pardon me for probably tearing all that to shreds. But now we're going to be talking about nothingness in Western philosophy, which has a very different view of nothing. You know, the Eastern philosophies, they have a more of a give and take with the nothing. You know, it can be good, it can be bad. You know, there's you know, good nothing, there is bad. Most Western philosophies say that nothingness is, they view nothingness as bad.
Yeah, that's it's just the worst thing that worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Which I can sympathize with.
Can you, Chris?
I can existentially. Yeah,
not a big fan of the nothing.
Yeah, the
endless void.
If I think about the idea of they're just being greeted by absolute nothingness,
yeah,
it is mostly disturbing in a way that I almost can't describe in a very deep seated way. But in some ways, though, it's also kind of comforting.
Well, I find...
Because,
then,
screw it, there's nothing.
Well, no, exactly, just the thought of nothingness, the whole...
The ultimate relief.
Yeah, no, exactly, the sweet, sweet relief.
Sweet relief.
You know, exactly, just being, I guess, I mean, some people would say above it all, and I guess you could think about it that way, but it's just ending, you know?
Right.
It's over, it's done. You know, what happens to my body happens to my body. It's the eternal oblivion theory.
Eternal oblivion.
Chris.
Oblivion
on
a loop.
Yes. It's a philosophical concept that the individual self permanently ceases to exist after death. Belief in oblivion denies that there is an afterlife such as heaven, purgatory, or hell, or any state of existence or consciousness after death.
That's intense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it comes from the belief that the brain creates the mind.
Okay.
You know, the brain, the
electrical
brain,
impulses in
the
our
electrical
brain.
Impulses within the organ of the brain construct our reality.
Okay.
And everything that we know, consciousness is nothing but you know, an input of all of these senses and, you know, these logical deductions that our brain's making.
Right.
And that is reality. Without the brain and without those logical impulses, it's gone.
It's all mush. It's all meat and bones.
Worm food, bro.
Worm food.
I call it worm food theory. You die, what happens? Worm food.
Nothing, just nothingness.
Yeah, you cease to be.
Cease.
It's over.
Cease. But what about the, you mentioned it before, the whole, matter can't be destroyed, right? Energy can't be destroyed. That's been proven in science, what we
yes.
know.
For, exactly. Anyway. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transferred.
Okay, so we got energy in our brains. That's what's making what's making us. That's what constitutes our reality.
Little electrical impulses.
So when we die, what happens to all that energy?
Well, no, the electrical impulses stop because, you know, the energy that's being produced in your brain is just calories that are being burned through this machine that you call a body.
It's like a battery that dies.
Exactly. You know, once you stop feeding it, or once, you know, something happens and the machine breaks, because,
yeah,
I mean, it's a big biological machine here, you know, then the lights go out, it's over. Your body, you know, it being matter, you know, turns, decomposes, gets turned back into the earth. You become one with the universe again.
I mean, we're
all stardust anyway, Chris.
Stardust. If we were batteries,
yes,
you would be a AAA, and I would be a C battery.
Well, in size wise,
Yeah.
I don't know. You sure you wouldn't be like one of those big old car batteries, and I could be like maybe one of those lantern batteries? I'm thinking. I don't know, dude. I'm thinking AA. That's really small. That's like a cockroach, bro.
When I say batteries, I'm thinking, we're Duracells with expiration dates on them, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, pretty much.
And some of us are Duracells, some of us are Energizer, some of us are those cheapo, Publix brands that die pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And all different sizes, shapes, and sizes. Ourselves as batteries. I'm gonna write that down too.
Yeah. I mean, this whole Eternal Oblivion thing, it's been around for a long time. The most referenced is from the Apology of Socrates, written by Plato.
Mm-hmm.
At the conclusion, after Socrates is sentenced to death, he addresses the court. He ponders the nature of death and summarizes there are basically two opinions about it. The first is a migration of the soul or consciousness from this existence into another, that the souls of all previously deceased peoples will be there. You know, this excites Socrates because he'll be able to conduct his inquiries about the great heroes and thinkers of the past and of the future. You know, he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
The other opinion about death is oblivion, the complete cessation of consciousness, not only unable to feel, but a complete lack of awareness, like a man in a deep, dreamless sleep.
Yeah.
Socrates says that even this oblivion does not frighten him very much because he would be unaware and be correspondingly free from any pain or suffering.
Yeah, yeah, that's the relief. That's the ultimate relief there.
Yes.
That's the one bit of comfort that exists in terms of, because what is it? I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead on you, but what's the Pascal's wager?
Okay, what's that?
I'm pretty sure it's Pascal. Pascal's wager is that if you don't know whether or not there's heaven and hell, but you allow for the possibility of there being heaven and hell, might as well live your life accordingly so that you can get into heaven. Because why risk the chance of eternal hell?
The whole thought of eternal hell just blows my mind.
It does. Well, if you're talking about the two sides of the same coin, nothingness, somethingness, you can't have a heaven without a hell.
Can you?
No.
Why not?
Because not everyone deserves to go to heaven.
Agreed, but why can't they just...
All good junkies go to heaven, Drew?
Why can't they just pull the Eternal Oblivion card and everybody else gets to go to heaven? Why do I have to suffer?
Why do they get the ultimate relief for their fucking sins? While we, the pious, lived a God-fearing life
to
achieve this heaven. Why should they get off when I work?
Is it
so
getting
hard?
Up? But I thought heaven was better than oblivion.
Heaven is better than oblivion, but oblivion's better than hell.
But I don't want to be punished for all of eternity. That sounds...
Well, then live your life accordingly.
That sounds
govern
like a
yourself
really
accordingly.
Angry, vengeful God.
Well, that,
I'm not sure if I like him very much.
Nothing to somethingness, man. That vengeful God has a very loving side. As loving as he is as vengeful. Yes, intense, right?
That's some scary stuff. I'd rather just have squat.
You would opt for eternal oblivion.
Yes. Then the chance of heaven or hell? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Riches are on earth right now.
Yes. Why? Because I think it's very life-affirming. You know, if it's, you know, if you, people that live these pious lives and whatnot, thinking that they're going to heaven, you know, they're denying all of the things that make life worth living now, so they can do all forever?
No, not those things, but so they can have other, like, riches that they can't even comprehend, you know. stuff you can't even, because that's an easy cop out. You can't comprehend it because it's the next level. You know?
It's next level shit.
Next level shit. We're talking about next level shit, bro.
There we go, dude. The new great philosophers right here.
That is new
some
great
of that
philosophers.
Next level shit, yo.
That is totally. Oh, I'm gonna write that down. Next level shit.
Yeah, that next level shit, yo.
That's next level shit, yo. Equals heaven hell debate. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Copyright. I don't know if we should publish this episode, dude. We should have put this out. We need to write this book first. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
Nothingness.
Nothingness.
All right, let's go with this one. The feelings of my smallness and my nothingness always kept me good company. Pope John the 23rd.
Oh, nice.
So he was fine with nothingness.
Yeah.
And we're talking religion. That's a Western philosophy.
Yes,
Western
it is.
Philosopher.
I actually consider religion a stem of philosophy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It is. Yeah. Yeah. A stem of philosophy as well as politics. The feelings of my smallness and my nothingness always kept me good company. So he's waiting for the ultimate relief.
Oh, yeah. Just like most. I mean, we're already talking about existentialists, so might as well just keep going with it. I mean, like you said, Sartre, you know, the whole nothingness and somethingness.
Yes.
Jean-Paul. Yeah, come exactly.
Jean-Paul.
Sartre defines, like you were saying, in his writings, being and nothingness. He talks about two different kinds of existence: the brute existence of things such as a tree, and other types of existence, which is consciousness. He claims that the second kind of being is nothing because consciousness cannot be an object of consciousness and can possess no essence.
Okay, wait, say that one again.
All right. Sartre claims that the second kind of being,
yes,
consciousness,
yes,
right, is nothing.
Okay.
Because consciousness cannot be an object of consciousness and can possess no essence.
It can't be an object of itself?
Correct. According to Sartre.
Okay, if he says so.
Yes,
he sounds like a smart guy.
Well, and like many existentialists, this leads him to the conception of nothing as the foundation for their atheist philosophy. Equating nothingness with being leads to creation from nothing, and therefore, God is no longer needed for there to be an existence.
Creation from nothing. Well, that's a Big Bang Theory.
Exactly.
Even though Big Bang Theory is still, there were a bunch of gases and stuff, something built up that caused the bang.
There's Big Bang Theory, which is, you know, it all started from there, but now they're starting to talk about maybe there was something before the Big Bang.
There has to be something before the Big Bang.
And then if that's the case, then that, you know, whatever was before the Big Bang was just a reaction from some other force and start. So is this the third big bang, multiple bangs, infinite amounts of bangs? I mean, how many loops is this? So does that mean this is all gonna happen again?
See, that's okay. You want to get a little, you wanna get a little deeper, man? You want to get a little, what the kind of things that keep me up at night besides some of these quotes? Some of these make me think of that. You know what keeps me up at night? The idea of no matter what you believe, creationism, evolutionism, God, all that stuff. I guess that's why people opt for the God route, because it's the easiest one to believe in. No matter how far back you go, like, where did it come from? Where did it start? What's the beginning? We have no idea. If you believe in God, then you believe that he always is, always was, always he's God.
Always has been.
Always has been, always there. Then one day he snapped his fingers and decided, I'm bored. He's on Earth. We don't know what God was doing before he made Earth.
No.
He didn't tell us that.
No.
He told us a lot of stuff to put in the Bible. He did not tell us what the hell he was up to before he made it. He didn't tell us about his all failed experiments before Earth.
He told us that we were made in their image.
In his image.
In their image.
In their image?
Their own image.
Oh, we know what that. Now we're talking about the translation of the Bible. It's been through so many translations. We're not even going to go there, dude. Okay, but even then. Okay, so if you believe in God, you believe he's always been there.
Yep.
Although we don't know what the hell God was up to before Earth.
Correct.
And he won't tell us.
Correct.
Okay, so
because he's a total dick like that.
He's a dick like that. Think about that, people. If God was around before Earth, what the hell is he up to? All right, just putting that out there. If you don't believe in God, if you believe in more of a science type of thing, you know, evolution,
yeah,
all that shit, that means you probably subscribe to the Big Bang Theory. That's the most
scientifically accepted one. Theory. You can't even say that because there is the school of thought of intelligent design.
There is. I know about intelligent design, that God caused the Big Bang.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to what the hell was God doing before he did the Big Bang?
Jerking off, maybe.
That's what I'm talking about. That brings us all to the same stuff. That's what I'm talking about. So, whether God created the Big Bang, whether God snapped his fingers seven days, created Earth. Where did God come from? The beginning, exactly. Where you can't trace it back far enough.
Was he birthed by another God? Was there like Mom God and Papa God and Little Baby God?
Or yes. My brain is starting to hurt. That shit freaks me out so.
Why? It doesn't, Chris, eternal oblivion, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're right. It totally doesn't matter. But it's still, I don't know why it freaks me out, but it does.
Eternal oblivion, bro, worm food.
I don't know why it worries me, but
the fact that we don't know where we've come from equals the fact that we don't know where we're going. Why are you that worried about it? Do you know how insignificant you are?
That's another thing. I had a quote in here about.
Do you have any idea how
the monuments of the nations are all protest against nothingness after death? So are statues and inscriptions. So is history. Lou Wallace. I don't know who Lou Wallace is.
I don't know. He's a smart man.
He is extremely smart. The whole
he probably stole that from somebody else.
Probably did. Most likely. We all know that right now, right? But the whole idea of just recording our history and trying to remember where we've been and teaching it and...
It makes no difference. In the end, it's all for naught.
It's all a fight against oblivion and nothingness. The whole idea of people wanting to be in movies because they'll secure their legacy.
Yep.
The idea of people having kids because their bloodlines will keep going.
It's because they're all afraid that there is nothing.
And you want someone to remember. The whole idea of us doing a podcast with my face is on it and my name is in it so that people 10, 20, 30 years from now might hear it. Might be like, oh, this person existed. He was a thing. This was a thing.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme,
nothing.
Just like you said,
man, it all means squat.
Man, it freaks me out, man.
And you're so tiny.
It's so incredibly insignificant.
First off, you are one person of how many?
Oh, so many people.
How many people are on the planet
right now at this one moment?
Yeah,
that are actually alive.
Give me
7 billion?
7 billion.
Something
okay,
like that.
So you're one of 7 billion people on this tiny blue dot.
Yep.
In the middle of the Milky Way galaxy.
Which is in the middle of the universe.
Do you know how many freaking galaxies there are out there?
I'm getting dizzy.
There are billions of stars, hundreds of millions of galaxies.
I'm feeling
all hot. In this ever expanding universe.
Oh, I'm getting dizzy.
And you are
And you're
worried that there's some man with a white beard in the sky worried about what you're doing.
Right?
Like, listen,
that one guy
in the sky is like, listen, if you over there on that tiny blue dot, quit fucking around or I'm putting you in hell.
Hey, that guy knows the amount of hairs on my head.
That makes no sense. Why?
He
has so many more important things going on.
He knows what I'm gonna do before I even do it, but I have free will.
Does he see you when you're sleeping?
He sees while I'm sleeping.
Does
he know
when you're awake? Does he know if you've been getting bad or good?
He does.
So be good, for goodness sake.
Yes!
So you're telling me God's fucking Santa Claus.
I'm saying Santa Claus is an allegory for God. God came first. That's what we're talking about. God came first. Well, he was doing before he created us, before he farted the Big Bang.
He was being Santa Claus.
He was being Santa Claus somewhere else. to some other race of other beings he created in his image. Maybe God is like one of these franchise fathers, these guys who he has like different families set up in different cities, and he goes there and he flies around and he tells them he's on business, but he's really in another
city. And we're the ones he left?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, no, we're just like another one of his...
we're the ones he left. He was like, you know what? I'll be... He went out for cigarettes, what, how many millions of years ago?
Oh, man. That's sad.
I'm pretty sure, what is it, Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate, he's an absentee landlord. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, it's crazy, man.
I'm going to write that down as God, an absentee landlord.
But it's okay, because even some of these people that believe in God still believe in a form of eternal oblivion, Chris.
Sure.
The big nothing. It's called annihilationism.
Annihilationism? Does that dovetail at all with Nirvana?
No.
Is that a Western version of Nirvana?
It's a Christian belief that apart from salvation, the final punishment of human beings results in their total destruction rather than their everlasting torment.
So that's what you were saying. Instead of there being a heaven, there's nothing.
Well, exactly. These guys have been like, you know what? Hell's kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who I feel like came up with that? Douchebags who wanted to sin.
Oh, hang on. Let me see. Fuck blah, 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 blah. Some annihilationists believe the wicked will be punished for their sins in the lake of fire.
Yes, yes.
Annihilated. That's the Seventh-day Adventists. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that hell's a false doctrine of pagan origin.
A false doctrine of pagan origin. Okay, so they don't believe in it.
Yeah, yeah. But these are Jehovah's Witnesses. They're crazy to begin with.
They're pretty crazy. They don't believe in heaven?
I think for them it's like heaven and purgatory.
And a purgatory type of deal. Like Catholics got the purgatory. Catholics have hell too.
Yeah. The Catholics are big on hell. You don't have to tell me, bro.
But they love that purgatory, man. That's where the money's at.
Oh, yeah. You just chill there and hang until you either do enough good deeds or somebody pays some money.
Yeah, your relatives. Your relatives got to pay enough money to get him out of purgatory.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The priest's like, I don't know. I feel like he's in purgatory right now. 100 shekels. Okay.
All right, he's good to go.
I don't think shekels is the right thing
to say there. Another big Western philosophy that deals with nothingness.
Uh-huh.
Well, one that everybody, I'm pretty sure everybody knows.
Uh-huh.
Nihilism?
We are nihilists. We believe in nothing, Lebowski.
Exactly. It's a philosophical doctrine suggesting the negation of one or more putatively meaningful aspects of life. Most commonly, nihilism is presented in the form of existential nihilism, which argues that life is without objective meaning, purpose, or intrinsic value.
Intense.
Yes.
Intense.
It means that, you know, there's no reason for it. We're just kind of here. Nothing. There's no reason. It's squat.
Well, so that goes back to what we were saying before.
Nothingness.
That it doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Correct.
Because it's so insignificant. It's like in Fight Club. On a long enough timeline, everyone's survival rate drops to zero. It flattens out once you get to once you pull back far enough.
Yeah.
You pull back your view far enough. Nothing.
Correct.
You are nothing when it's all said and done.
Yes.
It's all worth nothing.
Yes.
So why even bother?
Correct.
It's not fair.
I mean, when you think, going back to how small we are, even in the grand scheme of time.
Yeah.
Even if we're talking about universal time, let's not even talk about universal time, because that we are even, that'll make you cry at night, realizing how insignificant you are in universal time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even just in the Earth's time, the dinosaurs ruled the world for how many millions of years?
This was their world, the dinosaurs.
And we've been on the planet for what, like maybe as a species?
A few thousand, right?
Well, depending on what you believe.
30,000, 40,000, something like that?
Yeah, well, that's civilization. You got to realize.
Well, cave paintings. Those cave paintings were just found, 30,000-year-old cave paintings.
Yeah.
In France.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But those were like total hunter-gatherer type people.
Exactly. They're still technically human, though.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So artistic humans.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's so that's we haven't even been around for a blink of an eye.
And the way we're going, man.
Oh, we'll be out quick.
It's kind of crazy.
It'll be done. We'll all be in eternal oblivion.
Eternal, eternal nothing. Hold on, let me drink my beer a second. I'm almost out of beer.
Yes.
Eternal nothingness is fine if you happen to be dressed for it, Woody Allen.
Oh, very nice. Another form of nihilism is moral nihilism. And they assert that morality does not inherently exist in people, and that any established moral values are abstractly contrived.
So we're born a blank slate, and we just whatever is around us is how we bring in our morals. So it's
correct.
So that's coming down on the nature side of nature versus nurture. Actually, it's still combined because it's still both. The nature and nurture is what makes what builds our morality.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there was a point in time where hanging people in the town square was completely normal.
Yeah.
And now everyone's freaking out. They're like, oh my god, no death penalty.
Right. Yeah, it has totally flipped. That used to be the entertainment of the day.
No, exactly.
Let's go see the local hanging.
Yeah.
Now it's like,
let's go burn some witches.
Now people are like, death penalty. That's cruel.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess I kind of got to agree with that. Yeah. But we are still born with an inherent morality, though. It's not like these morals are coming out of nowhere. Someone decided, like, hey, this, you guys are fucked up. You got to relax. Let's be cool to me.
Yeah, but
other.
Who decided that?
Jesus.
And why did they decide that? How did that decision benefit them? Because you got to realize all this stuff comes down to, at the end, somebody was making out on top. That's why it all happens, because somebody makes out on top, Chris.
Someone makes it out on top, and then everyone else on the bottom second will get on top.
Exactly. It's the rat race.
Oh, the goddamn rat race.
All scrambling on top of each other, trying to make something out of... Say it.
Nothingness?
Exactly.
We can record... Record. Ugh. God damn it. Let me drink some more. We can regard our life as a uselessly disturbing episode in the blissful repose of nothingness. Arthur Schopenhauer. I can't really read that last name.
Nice.
Still got a bunch more quotes. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, man. I mean, you're coming with, nihilism, existentialism, and somethingness and nothingness. I mean, so what if it's all for nothing, Chris? Then what? What happens? What happens if it's all for nothing?
Well, if it's all for nothing, that brings us back to the ultimate relief. If it's all for nothing, we won't know it's all for nothing.
Correct.
As we die, we may be lucky enough to be conscious in those final moments to enjoy the DMT dumped into our brain.
Oh, that DMT dump is going to be so awesome.
Apparently, when Steve Jobs died, as he was laying in his bed, he was surrounded by a bunch of people, and... as he was dying, he just started looking off into the distance, like in front of him. And his last words were, wow, wow, oh, wow, wow. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like he totally was like in the moment.
Yeah.
He took it in, dude. And then he died and he crossed over. Steve Jobs knows.
Cross over or did he just trip balls on DMT?
Well, he tripped balls on DMT, which is what everyone does. That's why people see the lights. Like, I died. I saw the light. You're tripping balls when you're dying. Steve Jobs died, but does he know? Did he cross over? Is there something over there? Or is he making iPods in heaven? Or is he making iHarps? Or is there nothing and he doesn't even know?
Is he making iHarps? Man, I bet you those angels are really pissed off at the iHarp 6. They're all waiting for the iHarp 7.
I can't wait. They're all waiting in line. They're just all sitting in some of this very puff, cloudy store. Like, I'm getting that iHarp 7, yo.
I bet you the Apple stores in heaven look a lot like the Apple stores down here.
Everything's very white.
Very white and airy.
Yeah. Hey, what the hell? I'm so flustered with nothingness.
That's good, because I'm only going to bring up one more term for nothingness. And that's a psychological term for nothingness.
Okay.
Egolessness. It's the emotional state where one feels no ego or self. Having a distinct being apart from the world around oneself.
Egolessness.
When you have no, that you have no sense of self.
So is that, in terms of the ego, superego, and the id, the ego?
Yeah, probably.
A little sort of in that way.
The ego as a self.
Okay.
You know, because the ego is the self. It's the consciousness. It's the one. It's the...
So if I have no ego in this regard, that means I am then in terms nothing as a person.
Correct.
I have no emotions or characteristics.
Correct.
Or anything that would define me as who I am.
Uh-huh.
Because I have no ego. Yes. I'm just nothing.
Yes, you're a blank slate. You are...
Don't even care about me.
Correct.
Or how I'm perceived.
Uh-huh.
Or the way I live my life.
Yep. Kind of depressing, isn't it?
Is that proper definition of egoless? That's how I see it.
In a psychological standpoint, yes.
Psychologically speaking, right?
Psychologically speaking, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's depressing. That's like...
You think that.
Those are people zombies.
You think that, but in the Asian religions, once again, from the East...
They're fine with that? They're cool with egolessness?
Well, it's described as a feeling of oneness, being inextricably woven to the fabric of one's surroundings or environment.
Okay.
This is actually a mental state that is sought after in many meditation processes.
That when you put it that way, it does sound like to be complete with my surroundings, to be one with the surroundings.
To be one with the universe, bro.
So then to have no ego in... That means that it's just... I'm just me, and it's just everything, and we're all together. We're all one. That's the blanket theory. I'm down with the blanket theory, yeah. Well, you and me, we're the same. We're like, we're literally connected. We can't see it. We can't see the connections, but we're connected.
But in between those connections, there are tiny little gaps, dude.
Yeah, but between those gaps, there's an infinite more amount of connections, though. So. Between all those little gaps, there's way more, even more connections.
There's even tinier gaps.
Well, even between those little tiny gaps, there's even more tiny connections.
There. Until the point where you can't tell where my nose ends and the universe begins.
Right, so... I need a beer, man.
That was a lot of talking about nothing.
I'll be staying up all night tonight. The world is chaos. Nothingness is the yet to be born god of the world, Georg Büchner.
What else you got, Chris?
To pin your hopes upon the future is to consign those hopes to a hypothesis, which is to say, a nothingness. Here and now is what we must contend with. Angela Carter. That's more of a... There's only nothingness after this, so deal with what you got now. Deal with your shit. That's the new great philosophers. There you go. We'll take that. That's just deal with your shit.
Deal with your shit, y'all.
We can totally do this, man. Tadao Ando, Japanese fellow, says, if you give people nothingness, they can ponder what can be achieved from that nothingness. That's actually pretty good. Yeah. You give people nothing, they'll be like, I can do something with this.
Yeah. Mm. Well, with nothing, there is something, nothing at all. It's freaking dual natures of everything, bro.
There's no such thing as nothing. In every nothing, there's a something. In fact, there could be everything. That's a quote.
Wait, what?
There's no such thing as nothing. In every nothing, there's a something. Right? We got that. That's what we've been talking about. Whole thing. Nothing. Nothing is something. They're both together and intertwined. But in fact, there could be everything. So, as a matter of fact, there is no nothing.
So nothing could be everything.
Nothing is everything. There's not just a nothing. There is everything.
But if everything is nothing,
because in every nothing there is something, which means, since there are no nothings, because every nothing has a something, there's everything. It's just everything.
So that means nothing is everything.
That would be according to Libba Bray in Going Bovine, if you want to look that up. Libba Bray. There you go.
That's a brain twister.
Just twisted your mind up. This is a classic. A man who stands for nothing will fall
for anything.
Who said that?
I have no idea.
Malcolm X.
Nice.
Malcolm X. There is nothing so pitiful as a young cynic, because he has gone from knowing nothing to believing nothing. That is kind of sad. Maya Angelou, she kind of hit the nail head on the head on that one. Get a little life.
I guess my life outlook is pretty sad, isn't it, Chris?
To avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Albert Hubbard. So what? I mean,
well, if you don't do anything, how can you criticize it?
Exactly. And how can people criticize you if you do nothing? So if you don't want to be criticized, do squat, which means we're all susceptible to the same shit. All right, last one. Here we go. People have their own deaths as well as their own lives. And even if there is nothing beyond death, we shall differ in our nothingness. That's actually kind of hopeful.
Yeah.
We will experience different nothingnesses.
Yeah. No two trips are alike, Chris.
Our trips are going to be totally different, dude. When we cross over...
I'm probably going to have a lot less DMT in my brain.
The great philosophical group, Protest the Hero, once said... what did they say? Nothing. What is it? It's something. What's the line?
You tell me, bro.
Damn it.
I'm going to look it up. Yeah, talk about it, whatever. I'm going to look it up.
All right.
I can't just leave it hanging.
I was going to say that brings us to the end of the show. Just spent an hour talking about nothing, and it was a whole lot of something.
An hour and 15 minutes, actually.
An hour and 15 minutes about nothing. That's pretty good. I apologize. To anybody if I said anything offensive. depending on your outlook on life and things, you very well might have been offended by some of the things I said. I apologize. But, you know, it's my view, and my opinions, I guess, matter because it's my show. So, Chris.
Yo.
Philosophers, what are they saying? These Protest the Hero guys. Now,
something along the lines of how only dying, I think the line is only dying is this colossal.
Yes, correct.
It is the ultimate thing you can do as a living being.
Death is the ultimate thing.
The ultimate fucking thing you can do is to die. Only dying is this colossal.
But if it is all eternal oblivion, then it is. I mean, so what? It's. You do all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. We record this podcast, drinking beers, blah, 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 yada,
history,
yada, yada.
History's being recorded tonight.
100 years
right
later,
now.
I croak and it's all for squat.
Right. Is it all for squat? In just 100 years? It's already wiped out in just 100 years? We won't even make it 200, 300? Will that even matter?
It all depends. Yeah, probably not.
How
soon till the oil's gone? Because then shit hits the fan.
It freaks me out to think how in like a billion years... The sun is going to explode.
Yes.
And Earth will either get flung into space.
Or it'll be evaporated.
It'll be evaporated. Or it'll just hang there still in space and then freeze up. It'll be completely destroyed to the point where nothing can live. Nothing will be preserved. No matter what. Literally. That means that literally no matter what we do in all our ways to try to preserve ourselves as people on this planet, our legacies, our quote legacies, for naught.
Well, I mean,
in a billion years, what's the point? There won't even be anything for fucking aliens to come excavate. Because the Earth's going to fuck it up. Because the sun's going
to
fuck it up.
Who's to say the aliens can even get here?
Who's to say they're even aliens?
Well, at the end of the show, thank you very much for listening. We're done talking about nothing. Now we're going to talk about something. That whole aliens thing there. that's a little can of worms there, buddy. But the whole interspace travel thing, completely believe that there are aliens.
Interstellar.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think that we can get to them or they can get to us. I don't think that's possible.
So that's where God's hanging out then.
What, in between?
That's God's other families. Interdimensions, other dimensions, those are God's other families.
The other dimensions?
Yeah. When he's...
Does he look different? Does he look different?
Maybe he puts on a fake mustache for one, and then he and another one he's black, and then another one he's a woman. Yeah.
So but how do you know they're not different?
What, the dimensions?
No, the gods.
No, it's all the same god.
Are you sure?
Well, maybe it's like a Holy Trinity type thing, you know, many gods, but they're really one.
So is it polytheism?
No. More of a hive mind.
It's polytheism.
No, polytheism, is that more multiple gods, but separate? Like they can have sex with each other, then have kids, like Hercules.
Yeah, totally.
I'm talking about one god, but a hive mind, multiple physical, like creating other dimensions, right?
So we're talking,
but it's all really one god in the end. It's a blanket theory again.
So it's the
all
Borg.
The same. Is that a Star Trek reference?
Yeah,
I think that's the end of the show. Once Star Trek comes into conversation, I think it's over.
Well, you said hive mind. That's the first thing I think.
Well, yeah, hive mind. You know, definitely because we don't have a hive mind. Like ants have a hive mind, right? Or bees, it's suspected that they do because they
Some
all do
them,
the same
yeah.
thing. They all work together, right? But humans don't. Well, maybe we do. Subconsciously, I think we have a hive mind. That's why,
blanket theory.
That's blanket theory. That's why crossword puzzles are easier the day after they're published in newspapers because the answers are out there in the air. You know what I mean?
In the universe.
In the universe, yeah. Like
in the ether.
A crossword puzzle comes out on Monday in a newspaper. A whole bunch of people do the answers, and then the answers are in the air subconsciously, in the universe, in the ether. Tuesday, the people that pick up the Monday puzzle, it's easier for them to pick it up than if they had picked it up on Monday because the answers are in the air already. It's the hive mind. It's the subconscious hive mind. It's out there. It's all connected. It's the blanket theory. You hold up a blanket. Here's you. Here's me. Here's the hammer. This is an orgasm. This is the Eiffel Tower. You know, this is the microphone. This is our podcast. This is the table. These are toenails.
I need to cut mine.
So, I'm
all right. On that note, thanks for listening. I'm hungry. Let's go eat some food.
Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch.
Yow, 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 yow. Mlah, 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 mlah. Irish wristwatch. Now you do it.
Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch.
Manageable vegetable.
That's a lot easier.
Manageable vegetable.
Unique.
Unique wristwatch. Fuck.
Unique wristwatch. I didn't fuck him up. Unique New York. Unique.
Unique.
What?
Unique.
Oh.
Unique New York.
Okay, I think those are pretty good levels.